Today I want to share with you a part of Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, the first 13 verses. We'll have it up here on the board. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. You wouldn't think it would be all that difficult. As a matter of fact, you'd think it would just come naturally, you know, being humble instead of prideful. I mean, think about it. We're all born as little babies who don't know a thing, can't do anything for ourselves, completely dependent upon our mothers. We're all made of the same stuff, flesh and blood and bone. Most all of us, not all, have arms and legs and other appendages like feet and hands and fingers and toes. We all have fears, flaws, insecurities. We all get lonely. And I especially think about and pray for those who have been shut in during this pandemic. And for those watching at home, you are missed. You are loved. And you are being prayed for. We all hurt. You know, we all bleed red when we cut ourselves. We all get sick. And eventually we're all going to die. To say the least, the sin of pride can lead us human beings to do some of the most gosh-awful things. I think our culture tends to train us from childhood that life is all about me. You know, it's all mine. It has to be my way. I did it my way. That's sad, isn't it? Not so much the singing, but the concept. It's bondage, really. It's satanic. It's totally opposite of the way of Christ. Pride means that we want to look more powerful and impressive than we really are. Or, at the very least, we want to take what we've already had in life and use it as kind of a pedestal from which to look down on as many people as we can. Oh, we all want to look good and feel good about ourselves. But this goes way above and beyond. Pride is all about self and trying to make ourselves look good or better than others in order to try and impress people. There's a story told about one evening a young man was in a Dearborn, Michigan restaurant, and he bumped into, of all people, the then CEO of Chrysler, Lee Iacocca. "Mr. Iacocca," the man exclaimed. He said, "It's an honor to meet you." And he started to talk to him. And he said, well, my name is Jack. And I'm having a business dinner with some of my colleagues at that corner table over there. You know, it would really impress my friends if you could come over in a couple of minutes and just say, hi, Jack, you know, like you know me. Well, Iacocca good-naturedly agreed. And a few minutes later, he went over to the table and he said, hello, Jack, how are you? And Jack looked up and snapped, not now, Lee, can't you see that I'm busy? The great irony and truth is that the one being in the universe who really is more exalted, more lofty, more powerful than anyone or anything, is the same being who, far from using his lofty position as a platform for pride, has stooped lower than low so as to humbly serve and save us. In Philippians chapter 2 here, we see that Jesus had to give up a lot in order to join us on this fallen planet. At a minimum, he had to give up the glories and splendors of heaven in favor of what? A world filled with indigestion? Stubbed toes? Dirty fingernails? Aches and pains? That one I understand. A world filled with anger? Strife? No understanding, no compromise. You know, I sometimes forget what an enormous sacrifice Jesus made, not only when he died, but every step along the way. Day and night, and not only during those 40 days out in the wilderness where the devil hounded Jesus with temptations, you know, hoping against hope to derail God's salvation plan before it was too late. Day after day, Jesus had to look into the eyes of the people that he had created, only to not see even the faintest glimmer that their sovereign creator was standing right in front of them. Day after day, he had to live on a planet that he had lovingly created and shaped at the dawn of time, only to see all around him signs of decay and death and sorrow and sin. Paul said there in verse 7, he made himself nothing. Not only was he no longer living in glory, he even ended up dying the worst, most public of all deaths, crucifixion. And he did this all out of a humble love that goes beyond anything that we could wrap our little brains around. And it's in the face of all of this that Paul kind of says to us, okay, have you got it? If you got the picture, good. Now go and do the same. Paul ordered. And let's face it, few challenges in life can top this. Well, let me read to you verses 3 through 8 again. And I'm going to read them a little bit slower so that we can really concentrate on them. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. We need to remember that in the ancient world, back in ancient days, death by crucifixion was the worst that could happen to anyone. Crucifixion was more than just excruciating pain, which led to a slow, agonizing, suffocating death. It also meant that you were put on public display for ridicule. Those walking by were encouraged to mock the person being crucified. People threw garbage at you, feces at you. They threw rocks at you. They beat you. They spat upon you, hurled insults at you. If you had friends or family members there, sometimes they even received the same treatment. To say the least, crucifixion meant that you had hit rock bottom. There is no lower you can get. There is no further you can fall. You might say that you were lower than a snake's belly in a wagon wheel rut. There is nothing more inhumane, nor is there anything invented that causes one to feel less human than crucifixion does. And for Jesus, who had been one with the Father in the glory of heaven, his death on the cross shows us the extreme extent of his humility, of his emptying of himself. And he did this to save you and me. He did this to save us. And that's what humility is all about. Self-emptying. And taken to its inevitable conclusion, it leads to a cross. Because it is born of a love that desires more than anything the flourishing, the spiritual well-being of others. And this love is the essential character of who God is. We human beings have been created in the image of this selfless, humble, loving God. But I tell you, there's something that's been broken in us. And Jesus has come to earth as one of us to restore our image. As a man, Jesus didn't grasp after equality with the Father because that wasn't his nature. Instead, Jesus, being in the very nature of God, emptied himself, gave of himself completely, including his life. And so Jesus Christ comes to earth and becomes who we were created to be. Dies a death that we, not he, deserve, in order to save us from the consequences of our sin. Wow. I know that's a lot to take in, but it's the truth. This is what God is all about. And it's the key to our salvation. It's the key to life and everything. Think about it. Why did Jesus tell those who wanted to follow him that they must take up their cross? Because the truth is, that's what it takes. That's what it's all about. This is what it means to truly follow Christ. This is what Christ did, and this is to be our goal if we want to be like him, if we want to truly be those who are being recreated in his image. And it's not easy. It's radical. It means a total emptying of self. It means that we empty ourselves and then are filled with the love of God instead. It means that we do nothing out of selfish ambition, nothing out of vanity, but rather in humility value others above ourselves, looking out for the interests of others. Is that impossible? What do you think? I don't think I realize how prideful, how unlike Christ I am until I think of it on this level. Pride is interested in self at the expense of others, whereas humility is interested in others at the expense of self. Pride seeks glory for itself, but rarely gets it. To be honest, most times the proud just end up collapsing into themselves. Humility is always extending itself toward God and to others in a life of service that finally results in a self that is open toward others, kind of like a flower in full bloom. And so, as with Jesus, his glory is for all to see and for all of those who come in contact with it. Now we might ask, what's an imitator? Is an imitator the same as an impersonator? Well, no, there's a big difference between the two. Impersonators try to make people think they're something they're not. You know, the comedian Rich Little, for those that might remember, the great impersonator, he's called the man of a thousand voices because he could do all these voices and mannerisms of so many other people. But on the other hand, imitators strive to be a reflection of the one they look up to. And who's the one that we look up to? Now, deep down inside, many of us have a pretty clear understanding that we will fall short of a perfect imitation of Christ. And that's understandable. Ultimately, what we are called to do is to seek to adopt Christ-like attitudes in all aspects of our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And I have to tell you, sometimes we will fail. Sometimes we will fail miserably. But if we are authentic, and if we are seeking to be humble followers of Christ, we will admit our shortcomings. We will seek forgiveness, ask for God's help, and carry on, wanting to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of us. Now, as we look at and ponder these next two verses that I'm going to have up here on the screen, I think what Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 2 simply is this. If Jesus means anything to you, if his spirit is in you and his compassion occupies even the smallest corner of your heart, then make humility your life. Let that central movement of God in salvation, the move away from power and toward humble service, become such a part of your life that it's almost like a reflex. This means that we think of ourselves as servants of others. You know, kind of like that guy who washed the feet of the disciples. We don't try to get even. We don't try to be better than others or try to get our own way. We don't denigrate others. It's not our way or the highway. We seek what is better for the other person and don't worry so much about ourselves. We give without a thought of reward nor of regret. We care because that is what Jesus did. And Jesus is our life, and there is no other way. We will do anything and everything it takes to bring others into a saving relationship with God. We will not hoard what we have, but we will share it with anyone in need. When others hurt, we all hurt. We will hurt for them and with them. And over the years, I know many of you have had some times of deep hurt. It's during those times that I grieved too and prayed earnestly for you. And so did many others. When others are full of joy, be joyful for them. Be happy for them. Even in the little things. You know, something might seem small and insignificant to you, but it might be very important to someone else. So be happy for them. Rejoice with them. This, my friends, is true freedom. To so completely forget about self that we are totally focused on the well-being of others. This is what gives us confidence. This is what brings us peace and joy. This is what leads to humility as we continually come up against our shortcomings and must learn to lean more and more on God's goodness and grace. And also remember that we love because Christ first loved us. We are only forgiven because Christ died on a bloody cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We are loved only because we have been created by a God who is pure love. And all we have and all we are is a gift from God. Even our salvation, even our ability to have a saving faith. You know, I've said it before. There is nothing that we have done to deserve it. There is nothing that we have done to earn it. It is the gift of grace from God. See, by nature we are sinners. And we've been blessed beyond measure. Simply because we have a God who is head over heels in love with us and with all of his creation. To me, the thought of that is beautiful. It's simply overwhelming. I mean, what a joy, a pure joy. What true freedom we find is seeking to follow Jesus. You know, Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians from prison as he faced his own execution. And yet he was sustained by his self-emptying participation with Christ. He kept giving hope to others. He was sustained by a love that burned with a desire for the spiritual well-being of others, a love whose joy can be made complete only when all are included. He desperately wanted the church at Philippi and for us to share his joy, his love, his freedom in Christ. Paul wrote, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete, having the same mindset as Christ Jesus." Can you see the beauty of it all? The truth of it all? The possibilities of it all? Now, are we going for it? Are we willing to live our lives for Christ and for Christ alone? Will we repent of the sin of pride and intentionally follow the one who left heaven in order to be executed for us? Well, actually by us, because it was our sins that held him there so that we can be saved. What will your answer be today? Let us pray. Father, give us the humility which recognizes its ignorance, admits its mistakes, recognizes its need, welcomes advice and accepts rebuke. Help us to always praise rather than criticize, to sympathize rather than to discourage, to build rather than to destroy, and to think of people at their best rather than at their worst. This we ask in your precious name. Amen. Ask that you please stand if you are able as we continue with our closing hymn this morning. There is Power in the Blood, number 329.